6:45. So beyond Baltimore, the news is coming out of Nepal is, well, every day it's even more shocking. It started in the hundreds, now over 5,000, close to 6,000 confirmed dead after that devastating earthquake. A general in Nepal today saying they think that number is going to be 15,000 killed when it's all said and done. William Axon is a research professor at the Population Studies Center at the University of Michigan. He's a real expert not only in U.S. Issues like relationships, family organization, intergenerational relationships, but also these issues in Nepal. Bill, great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Michael.
So you're dealing with these population studies, obviously the U.S., everyone's interested in that, but how did you end up focusing on Nepal in your work?
Yeah, funny story. I was born in Sparrow Hospital down the road there, and my parents both worked for Michigan State. And when I was a kid, they moved to Nepal for a couple of years, and I lived there when I was a kid.
Okay. Oh, so you grew up there, and then well, you when did you come back to the U.S. then? How old were you then?
Came back for high school.
Wow, so you really spent, like, your entire childhood there?
No, just a couple of years, Mike, but definitely effective.
Oh, I gotcha. And now, what's, well, first of all, Nepal is, have you been back as an adult, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah, several years worth, and we've been working there for more than 20 years.
Okay, and what, I know it's a bit of an impoverished country, but what is Nepal really like when you're there?
Well, it's a gorgeous landscape because of the mountains, but yeah, it's a very poor country. It's among the poorest in the world.
And what are the people like? Because I know what, they're mostly Hindu, is that right?
Super diverse, actually. It's mostly Hindu, but Buddha was born there. There are a lot of Buddhists in Nepal. Some Christians, some Muslims, many of the people in Nepal came from India, but some came from Tibet and the Tibetan Plateau. So it's a real mixing, melting pot kind of country.
And what's, when you see, I mean, we see the news, obviously it's so far away, and most people probably would not be able to identify Nepal on a map, but what crosses your mind as you see these numbers? What is that country really going to end up going through here?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, you said most people don't know where it is, but I'll tell you, it's right between India and China and has tremendous strategic importance for the United States and the world because of the tensions that go on and off between India and China.
Okay.
Second of all, it's a very rural, farming-based country that's very dependent on tourism for any kind of support from the outside and foreign aid. And so folks don't have a lot to work with in terms of rebuilding after a crisis like this.
Yeah, what was life like in some of these areas that were devastated? They have running water, that kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, so interesting thing. Kathmandu, the city, was very hard hit. And because they had plumbing, running water is a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
In the rural areas, they're very hard hit and lost a lot of housing. But plumbing is not very common in the rural areas in the mountains, so they still have the same water supply they had before, which is river water.
Hmm. Is a country like that, is it able to kind of get back on its feet, or does this completely wipe them out for many years?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. In a country like ours, we have a lot of what I would call non-family support systems.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether you think of it as government, charities, various groups and organizations that are not really your close family. In a country like Nepal, there's really strong family ties, not just to your closest family members, but across extended family networks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where most of the help is going to come from to rebuild in a lot of those places.
From families, okay. And do they have, do they have the roads and the transportation? Are they able to get to each other normally, or is that already a problem to begin with?
Yeah, that was a problem to begin with, and then the landslides. Landslides are a part of every year's annual cycle in Nepal because the monsoon rains bring landslides. But, of course, with an earthquake, you've got a lot of extra landslides, a lot of damage to roads.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, folks who live in those mountains are used to walking and used to carrying things. So we have a staff of about 100 Nepalese people doing research for us in the southern part of the country. And right now they are trucking relief supplies up to the end of the road and then carrying them from there to people's houses.
Well, food and water, that kind of thing?
Actually, number one item is a tent.
Some shelter. And what's the temperature like right now in Nepal?
Great thing about Nepal is in the southern part of the country, it's like Florida, but above 17,000 feet, it's snow year-round.
Wow.
So
okay.
The temperature depends entirely on altitude.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it usually does not rain in April, but this April it's raining. And so, you know, if you're up about 10, 11,000 feet, it's raining. It's going to be cold and rainy. And a lot of folks have lost all of their house, any kind of shelter. And so these tents are super important.
Now, are you going to be going back to Nepal at some point yourself?
I hope so. I mean, I have a lot of work ongoing there. We do research on population change, on environmental change, a lot of things like that. And so, yes, I expect so, but I don't have an immediate plan.
I mean, what the population? It's 27 million people in Nepal. Is that right? Something like that?
Estimates are between 27 and 31.
Okay.
My guess would be 29. But, you know, it is a country where there's not good data.
Right.
So some of these villages that have been wiped out in the landsliding and the earthquakes, we literally don't know how many people lived there before.
Hmm.
And some of them are now covered under you know, rocks and debris. And so I think most of the relief efforts are focused on people who are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We may never know how many people exactly died in this situation.
15,000, does that sound like it? Like an exaggerated number to you? Or?
No, it doesn't sound like an exaggerated number. In fact, 2-3 years ago, people were already talking about the likelihood of this earthquake, and estimates would have been even higher, like maybe 1 million people.
Well, what, you said the likelihood of this, so they were ready for one of these?
Scientists in the United States predicted it. The U.S. government had some support services in place in Kathmandu because of the likelihood. It is the Himalayas are shifting some every year, and the pressure builds up until it gets released. We just never know exactly when. Michael, the fact that this occurred at noon on a Saturday saved thousands and thousands of lives.
How so?
If folks had been asleep in their houses when this happened, they would all be dead. Most of the adults were out working in the fields. Even children on a weekday would have been in school buildings, and instead they were out playing.
Wow.
And out playing, you stood a much better chance of surviving than if you'd been inside a building when this happened.
Amazing. And you said the estimates would have been up to 1 million, I mean, from this kind of size of an earthquake, you're saying, the 7.8 magnitude.
This struck in the center of Nepal between two of its largest cities, Kathmandu and Pokhara. And Pokhara suffered very little damage, but Kathmandu, as you know, is decimated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in the rural areas in between those two cities. I think had it been at nighttime, we would have seen numbers at least in the neighborhood of 100,000.
Okay, before I let you go, Bill, you said that there really is no infrastructure to help people, governmental infrastructure. I mean, in the coming months, is that going to become a huge problem for that country?
I expect so. I would say there's infrastructure. It's just nothing like what we're used to here, Mike.
But, I mean, are people just not going to be getting the help they need, and we'll see them starving and other things happening there?
That's the biggest fear. Yeah. I think a lot of international relief is pouring into Kathmandu and overwhelmed by what they're finding there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult to reach more rural places. I think you'll see significant migration out of those places into places that are easier to get in and out of, basically.
Right.
But I think the biggest concern right now is the possibility of lack of shelter or lack of food producing sort of long-term deaths, not immediately from the event, but over the longer term.
Well, I'm sure everyone is still in a total shock there. This Saturday, 7.8 magnitude earthquake in Nepal. Now estimates from one general in Nepal, 15,000, at least 15,000 may have been killed. Only 5,800 confirmed right now. Bill Axon, research professor at the Population Studies Center at the University of Michigan. Bill, thank you so much.
My pleasure.